Father, thank you for this morning, and I pray that, please, you'd help us now. I ask that this be a helpful time. Lord, as we look into your word, as we look at this subject, I wish, please, that you'd open our eyes. And, Lord, really, it's us looking at what we are and, Lord, why we need you so badly. So, please, let this be simple, and yet, Lord, please, touch our hearts. We need you this morning, and we're just asking for your help, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. This morning's lesson, we've been looking at doctrines in the Bible. Bible doctrines, or what's that mean? Bible teaching. And we touched on the doctrine of God, who God is, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of creation. We touched that last week. The doctrine of the devil, who the devil is, and tried to just touch on that. Doctrine of angels. And I'm gonna just make a real quick parenthetical note on the angels and demons and devils. Everything that you need to know about the spirit world is found in the Word of God. Amen. If you ever get out of the Bible to look at angels or the devil or demons, there's only one book that tells you what happens after you die. That's right. If this book doesn't teach it about the devil, then I don't need to know it. Now, it teaches a lot about the devil, but I don't think you should get preoccupied with a study about demons and angels. I think they're real. I know they're real. But I've watched people get over-occupied with it, over-possessed with, I've got to learn more about it. Anything that's taught outside this Bible, if you aren't careful, you'll get into the occult, especially in our society. I remember going to the Zondervan bookstore, the Christian bookstore, when I was a kid. And I remember somebody said, the Mormon religion is a demonic religion. You can find the name of the demon of Mormon, in the list of demon names in the Satanic Bible. So, I remember being about 20 years old, I went to Zondervan's Christian bookstore and I found the Satanic Bible. I got it down and I had to hunt for it. It was in the occult section. I looked at it, there it was, Mormoni. Wow, that really is true. That's fine. My wife and I were on a date last year in the mall, and I can't remember, I want to say it was up in Frederick, and we went into a bookstore. You don't have to hunt for the occult anymore. They had a whole wall of books on witchcraft and demonism and exorcism and satanic. I mean, it was near the front of the store. It wasn't in the front, but I just remember going, wow. Well, they print those books because they sell, because people are interested in it. Don't search outside the Word of God for what you need to know on things like that. God has plenty of things in the Word of God. And so this morning, we're going to look at the doctrine of the fall. You say, what is that talking about? Well, here we go. Let's look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, if you're not careful, you'll think that the devil's a snake, and the devil's not a snake. The Bible calls the devil the serpent. Here, I don't know if you're picturing a snake talking to Eve, but I honestly believe it was Satan taking the form of a snake. I don't believe snakes have always slithered, because God cursed them to go on the ground. I believe before the fall, before sin entered... Oh, wow. Good. All right. Well, let me start it over. Ready? Because it's almost done. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Why doesn't it break when you need it to break? It must be like stinking frozen. Good night. Okay. It is frozen. Good night. All right. I think you get the picture. Okay. You say, why would you use an egg in an adult Sunday school class? The fall did such damage to mankind. Did you know that the nursery rhymes kind of have a, not a biblical, but a religious background on many of them? Did you know Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall? Eggs don't get up there by themselves. Somebody put it up there. God did. That was the elevated state of man. When Humpty Dumpty fell, he had a great fall. And all the king's horses, and all the king's men, nobody human could put him back together again the way he was. It took a supernatural act to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, like salvation. That's the illustration. You say, how bad did we fall when we sinned? God made us to walk with Him in perfect creation. God made us in His image to talk with Him and spend time and to love Him and to share with Him. And then we disobeyed. When Adam sinned, he did what we call the fall of mankind. This morning's Bible lesson is called the seed plot of the Bible. Now listen closely. This morning's Bible study is the reason. It answers all the questions and what I wrote down here. This morning's Bible study is the reason Jesus died. If we had not sinned against God and become what we became and have passed on to us, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. The reason for the Bible study this morning, the fall of man, is the reason we are what we are. We're sinners. It's not that we sinned. We do what we do because of what we are, and I'll cover that with you in just a second. The fall of man is the reason we must be born again. From this point in the Bible, after they sin, God works at getting man back to Him, and that's why we look forward to heaven so much. Here we go. Let's read the story here. Ready? Humpty Dumpty. Aren't you glad I used a trash bag, right? The egg? Yeah. That way it didn't go splat. The Lord worked that out. See? All right. Ready? Here we go. Look what the devil says here, the serpent. He says, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here Satan begins his tactic of tempting Eve, and he uses this tactic all throughout for the past 6,000 years. What's the first words recorded out of the devil's mouth? Yea, hath God said? The first tactic the devil always gets you doing is questioning the Bible. Is the Word of God really? Is that really the Word of God? Did God really say that? God really said that, but the devil says, question the Word of God. You can't question the Word of God. My faith, this is where it holds my faith. Let's look at verse 2. Ready? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. It would have really helped Eve if she was going to fight the devil with God's Word or the Bible, if she had known the Bible. She added to God's words. God didn't say, you can't touch it. God said, you can't eat it. Doesn't the Bible say, Proverbs 36, add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee? God says, do not add to his words. Eve did. God didn't say, don't touch the fruit. He said, do not eat the fruit. You say, why would God do that? God created Adam and Eve. We are created beings, and he had a right to expect one thing of them. There was no other reason to not eat of the tree. It's not because it was poisonous. It's not because it was dangerous. The only reason they were told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is because God said not to, and they owed it to God to obey. God said, lest ye die. Well, watch what Satan says. Eve, don't add to the Bible. Here we go, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So now he is saying, no, that's not going to hurt you. The devil always gets you mocking at judgment. You can live in sin. There's no such thing as judgment. Judgment, oh, don't be so extreme. Verse 5, and God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, not knowing good and evil. Let me tell you what else the devil does. So first, what does the devil do? He gets you doubting the Word of God. Hath God said? Then he comes out and says, ye shall not surely die. It's not that bad. And then he says the third statement, is he says, God's cheating you. God knows if you eat this tree right here, you'll be just like him. Your eyes will be opened up. And God is keeping something from you, and that's why you need to disregard what God says. And how many times does God say that nowadays? Does the devil say that nowadays? Why do Christians not live the Christian life? Because they feel God's cheating them. They're blinded to the blessings. If you obey me, I bless you, your family, your home. But they don't see the blessings. They think, how come I can't do that? How come I can't listen to that? How come I can't talk that way? God must be trying to cheat me. What is he trying to do to me? Here's the classic. I've been sentenced to Christianity. God is keeping something from me. And that's the devil's lie. That God knows the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open and you'll know good from evil and you'll be just like God. God's limiting you. God doesn't limit anybody. Your obedience opens up your life. It does not restrict you. Here we go. Let's keep on going here. Ready? Watch this. Verse 6. Here's the fall. Here's the fall of man. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Stop. All of this, I'm giving you a kind of a machine gun type thinking process this morning. So when you go back and read this on your own, I hope that the Lord can bring some of this to your recollection. But how did the devil work? Watch me real close. When she saw physical, okay, when she saw it was good for food, that it was pleasant, her emotions, and it was desired to be make one wise, what it could do for her physically, the devil works from the outside in. He appealed to her body, then her soul, desire, okay, and then her spirit, desired to make one wise. The devil works from the outside in. Don't all false religions? If you'll do these things, then you'll become this. If you'll meet our requirements outwardly, then you become this. That's the Mormon religion. That's the Catholic Church. They work from the outside in. All false religions start with the body and work its way to the spirit. How does God work? You must be born again. God saved you first, what you are on the inside. And then God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What you are on the inside is supposed to work its way out eventually to your body. The devil tempted her and works exactly in opposite of God. It worked from the outside in. Okay? Have you ever noticed in this story of the fall, what man becomes? A sinner. A hell-deserving, dead, without hope, without God, sinner. What he becomes is exactly opposite of evolution. What does evolution teach? Man started out as a germ and is working his way up. And as we enter the new age, he's becoming better and better. What does the Bible teach? The exact opposite. God created man sinless, but with a choice. And then man sinned and he fell. The Bible starts man up here and shows that we fell because of our bad choice. Evolution teaches that man started here and is slowly becoming better and better and is going to slowly become like God eventually. All that garbage. You ever see how it's exactly opposite? Watch this. Here's the fall of man. Ready? Watch this. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What's the first thing man does when he sees what he is? He immediately starts working on the outside. I got to fix this. I don't want anybody to see what I am. A hell-deserving, spiritually dead sinner. Oh, no. So what they do? Their own works. The fig leaves represent pulling the leaves off the tree, sewing them together, and putting them around what they thought would cover them up. And when God saw the fig leaves, God says, those are your own works. And that will not properly cover you. What do people do when God touches their heart of sin? Oh, no, I need to go to church. I need to get baptized. I need to read the Bible more. become a better person, and they pull the fig leaves, their own work, and I need to change the way I talk, and I need to change my work ethic, and I need to change my character, and I need to become a new person, and they sow the fig leaves in their work and their effort, just like Adam and Eve did. And when God sees that, let me show you God's response to it. Ready? Look on over you there. Verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Because of the fall, because of the fall of man, God instituted what he has always planned. The death, listen closely, the death of an innocent pays for the sin of the guilty. What did God do here? To take the skin off an animal, you kill it, right? God slew it. It doesn't say what animal. I think it was a lamb, but we'll find out when we get to heaven. But God took an animal and said, those fig leaves won't work. It does not change what you are on the inside, and it does not picture my salvation. My salvation is one day when my son comes to die for you because of what you are. He says, so I think God took a lamb, and God took the clothing, the skin off of the lamb, and said, God says, I'm the one that's supposed to clothe you and cover you, your nakedness, your sinfulness, your shame. And God took the skins of the animal and clothed Adam and Eve. Now, that's the fall. Let me show you something about as far as what do we learn from the fall. Can you go to Romans chapter 5 real quickly? Now go to the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 12. Do you know it's because of the fall of man that you're not naturally a good spouse? Having a good marriage does not come naturally to anybody. Did you know it's because of what we're studying this morning, the fall of man and what we became, that I have to work at loving my brothers and sisters in Christ, because naturally I'm a jerk. If I do what I feel like doing, I express my selfishness. Did you know it's because of what we're studying this morning, the fall of mankind, that every one of us has to work at our parenting? Nobody in here is a natural good mother. There's natural affection the Bible speaks about. That's just the love that a parent has to the sibling. But every one of us has to work at being a good parent. Every one of us has to work at being a good spouse because of the fall. What we became, what we are. And unless I work at it, if I let my marriage take a natural course and I don't work at it, it will fail. If I do not work at raising, it takes work and effort. Why? I'm fighting the fall. I'm fighting my sin nature. I'm fighting what I was before I got saved. And here we go, until I die, what I am. It's because of this. Here we go. I think I made my point. Look at verse 12. Ready? Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, how many times do you hear the statement, nobody's perfect, and everybody's willing to admit that nobody's perfect. But let's take it to the degree God says that's what's wrong with our government right now. That's what's wrong politically. They don't want God, because if you acknowledge God, you acknowledge that you were created and that you fell and that you are not what He created you to be. And you need the Creator. So it's better just to erase God from society, from the school, from history. That way you don't have to truly face what you are. You know something's wrong because of the sin and the guilt and the shame, but you just don't have to acknowledge the source of it. Here, death passed upon all men. This answers the question, why is the world in the mess that it's in? Why are they rioting in Iran? Because it's what their religion produces. They're lost. They can't help it. I'm still trying to figure out why they've given so much press time to that. isn't this the country that chants death to America, death to, you know what I mean? But I mean, when we were on, when we were staying in the motel, my wife and I, they must have dedicated 2 hours a day to that thing, you know, showing these, you know, people's secret cell phone videos of the riots and all this stuff. And I don't rejoice in it as much as I'm going, they don't want us there. But when you see the rioting and the violence, why is the world in the mess that it's in with the violence and the drinking and the drugs and the pornography and the society in general, the homosexuality, immorality? You can take all the problems. Where did it come from? It came from the fall. Death passed upon all men. Can you take your Bible real quick? Would you put your finger right there in Romans 5? And I just want you to turn to Psalm 58. Psalm 58. And look at verse 3. Psalm 58. Psalm 58. Psalm 58. Death passed upon all men. It passed on the whole human race. Look at verse Psalm 58, verse 3. Ready? The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Only a mother knows the truth of that verse. Babies are not innocent. Babies are liars. Now, the only thing is they don't know it yet. They haven't reached the age of accountability, which is different for every child. But God says, when that baby was crying and it had been fed, and it wasn't sick, and it wasn't wet, and it wasn't, you know, I say, you know, we used to say, and the pin wasn't sticking in it, you know what I mean? They don't even use those anymore, you know? Remember, if it's not stuck with a pin, it's lying. It's lying. Don't say that about Oswald. It's lying. The Bible says, because of the fall, from the womb they go astray. This is why child rearing is so important. Most absorbing years of a child's life is from age birth to five. They learn more in that time frame than they do at any other given time. They are literally a sponge. And if you don't teach them right, the Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother what? Shame. You know what child becomes naturally? If you just let them do whatever they want, you do not restrain them. You know what the child becomes? A beast. Why? Don't talk that way about kids. The fall. It was a big event in the Bible. It's the reason we do a lot of what we do. It's the reason we struggle. Here we go. I wanted to show you that. Now would you go back to Romans chapter 7. Ready? The fall. Boy, here, I got 2 minutes, don't I? Okay. Read that on your own. Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 7 are very good. They'll show you the two different natures. I want to end the class with this. Ready? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. I am sorry. Genesis chapter 3. Have you ever looked at the curse? The curse. What happened because of the fall? God cursed mankind. I don't know if you realize this or not, but there was no sickness, there was no pain, there was no disease, there was no death. Until Adam sinned. There were no mosquitoes, you understand? Or they were, but they didn't. There were no chiggers. You understand? There was nothing pesky or irritating about the creation. God's words was, it's very good. When Adam sinned, the whole earth was cursed. Let's look at the curses real quickly because I think it helps to understand some things if you look at it. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now let's look at the curse. Look at verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Verse 16, unto the woman, God said, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now, if you look at the word, and I think because this is a married class, I can talk about it, but a woman has more problems than just childbirthing. The whole issue of the monthly cycle is a real bother to most. Now, wait a second. If you ever ask yourself the question, why? It's because of the curse. It's because of the curse. Some women struggle with it more than others. But I believe, I don't know of anybody that's, any woman that's just, and I don't talk about this. You know what I mean? I've heard, how do you get out of this one? Okay, you understand? Okay, don't, I don't have to backpedal my way out of this. I really don't talk to ladies about this. But then watch this. It says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy, then watch this last phrase. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I believe that's falsely taught when somebody says that's talking about the sex drive of a woman. No. It's talking about her desire to rule the home. Why does a woman have to work at submitting to her husband? Because of the curse. She's going to have problems in the conception or the monthly cycle. She's going to have problems in child rearing. And then God cursed her with a desire to say, I can do that a lot better than my husband. Did you know a woman's brain does work faster than a man's most of the time when it's working? I didn't mean that. I had to put that in. But did you know a woman's brain does work faster? Did you know a woman is able to use both sides of her brain at the same time? A man cannot. Now, there's reasons for it. But did you know a woman's temptation is to watch her husband struggle in an area because he has some things to learn too, and then her temptation is this, I could do that better. If I did that, it wouldn't turn out this way. Ladies, what would you think if I showed you right there from the Bible, that's a part of the curse. When your husband is trying to lead, that's why you feel the pull to say, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. That's stupid. But wait a second. What would happen if you knew it was because of the curse? If you knew it was because of the curse. Let me leave with a nice, pleasant thought. Are you ready? And then we got to get this class ready. If you ladies ever understand the pull that you have on your husband, the Bible says she gave the fruit to her husband who was standing right there. I think Adam made a horrible mistake in not kicking the serpent out of the garden. What was he doing there in the first place? Eve went ahead and gave to her husband. Let me tell you something. Every husband in here likes to see his wife happy. And ladies, just in case you wonder, if it ever comes down to you or God, who will your husband choose? The first man in his perfect state chose his wife. Did you know why the encouragement you give to your husband to live for God is extremely powerful? And I just go back to the fall. When Adam had to choose, I know not to eat of that tree, but my wife's offering this. And he had to either choose to make his wife happy or make God happy. Who did Adam choose? His wife. You say, he shouldn't have done that. I'd amen you to death while you're preaching, but that's not where we live. You ladies have a wonderful influence over your husband. If you use it for good and you encourage him, you don't know what that means to your sweetie. Just keep encouraging him. You don't know what that means to him. I hope this has been a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please help us now. Thank you for your word. We love you and we need you. I pray, please, that you'd strengthen each home here represented. I pray that you would please touch us. Thank you for your salvation. And thank you that you love us in spite of what we are. We need you this morning. We just ask for your help. Help us in the service. In Jesus' name, amen.